Your program feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder, we have a Bible Institute here at BBN. At bbnradio.org, just click Bible Institute.
Our Teen Week Conference pulpit messages continue now with our Friday evening edition, and our speaker this evening is Andy Gleiser, who served as the student ministry's pastor at Birds Terrace Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. He completed a Master's of Ministry degree from Northland International University while serving at the church. In August of 2014, his church relieved him of his pastoral responsibilities to send the family to follow God's call in itinerant gospel ministry to local churches. A consistent theme across Andy's preaching and teaching is helping the church learn, live, and give the gospel of Jesus Christ entirely by God's grace. He also enjoys writing new hymns for the church that exalt Christ and His cross. Here is Andy Gleiser with the message this evening, Gospel-Driven Technology.
And my desire is that you take this for your life and you work through it. If you came here this morning saying, good, Pastor Andy's going to give me the list of what I need to do and what I don't need to do, and then I'll be a good spiritual Christian, then you are going to be disappointed, because it is not my job to do that. It is my job, by God's grace, to point you to the Bible and have you, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, come to conclusions on your own, led by Him. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. You're going to want to keep your Bible open to Ephesians 5, because we will be in this passage throughout the entire morning. When you get to Ephesians 5, would you look at verse 1? Our text is actually 17 verses, but we will only read verse 1 at this point, and we will read through the passage as we go along today. The Apostle Paul writes to us in Ephesians 5, verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Would you read that out loud with me this morning? We'll say the reference and then the verse. Would you do that with me? Thank you. Here we go. Ephesians 5, 1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." This morning I want us to consider gospel-driven technology. Our Father, in Jesus' name, as I stand here this morning, I know that I cannot do without You, and that if I try to do this without You, it will be a disaster. And so I ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I ask that You would descend upon us this morning and would help us to think biblically, that we would react not out of fear, but out of a desire for the glory of God. And I pray You would teach us more and more how the gospel should drive our technology. We ask for understanding now through the aid of the precious Holy Spirit. I ask this for the glory of God and of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ryan Tyson was the first person I knew who had a Nintendo. I was in the first grade when Nintendo released its 1985 original video entertainment system. Not long after it was released, my friend Ryan had one. I loved going to his house because I was fascinated with these gray cartridges that you put in this gray box, and there was a gun that came with it. You could point it at the TV and you could shoot ducks. This was so cool. And if you missed, a digital dog would come up and laugh at you. And that was amazing to me, and I loved going over to his house. The only video games I knew existed in pizza joints. Pac-Man, Mrs. Pac-Man, Baby Pac-Man, Cousin Pac-Man, you know, all those Pac-Man things. But I was hooked, and I wanted a Nintendo of my own. Oh, but it was not until the early 90s before I was able to get my very own Nintendo. Unbeknownst to me, though, during that interval, before we got one, my dad bought a first for my family. A personal computer. It was kind of big, and it kind of took up most of the corner of one in our house. A Commodore Colt. It could do word processing and very little else, but it came complete with stacks of 5 1/4 inch floppy disks. And it had, we were able to get several games that you could sit, you know, right there in the A drive. Just slip it right in. Most games would take multiple disks. But there were games such, I remember my dad, my brother and I playing Wheel of Fortune on the Commodore Colt. And there again was digital Vanna White. We played that game so often, we knew all the puzzles, and yet we kept playing it over and over again. A lot of fun. By the time we finally did purchase a Nintendo, most of my friends had moved on to Game Boys. This is the handheld version of the Nintendo Entertainment System. I loved those things. I never got one. Today, in case you want to know, they're no longer called Game Boys. They're called Nintendo DS. But in my mind, I still default to calling it a Game Boy. Because that's what it was when I was a little kid. When we finally got a Nintendo in the early 90s, we found that Nintendo games were quite easy, quite cheap to buy. Because most of the rage was what was called a Super Nintendo. I never got a Super Nintendo. We only got the original one. A lot of my friends had that Super Nintendo, and it wasn't until my high school senior year that Nintendo released its next big deal, and that was Nintendo 64. Now, I didn't care about the Nintendo 64 because I had already moved on to bigger and better things. I enjoyed the computer games. In fact, when I was in college, my roommate had a desktop computer in our room, and he had games on it. And he said, Andy, if I'm not on it, whenever you want to use it, you use it, play the games. He had a World War II flight simulator game. You could be the Axis, you could be the Allies, you could fly the planes and do missions. I loved it on there. I built an incredible city that year. I called it Brinville. And it was a great city till it was destroyed by a giant spider. But by the time Bryn and I were married, the year we were married, 4 years after high school, Nintendo released its next thing, Nintendo GameCube. Since the year we were married in 01 until today in 12, Nintendo has since released the Nintendo DS, has since released Nintendo Wii, and now people are returning Wiis. What's the next big thing coming? I think it's safe to say that video games are here to stay. And I haven't even talked about the PlayStations or the Xboxes or the explosion of digital games you can get with just a tap on your iPhone or iPod. Last February, I preached for a friend of mine in Pennsylvania, and as I was flying back from Pittsburgh, I sat next to a young professional who was soon to graduate from Robert Morris University. They're in the Pittsburgh area. We had a great conversation. As the conversation wore down, he pulled out his, he's dressed in a suit, he pulled out his phone, and he began to play Angry Birds. It's not just for little kids. People of all ages are playing video games, and they have come a long way since 1985. It's safe to say they're here to stay, but the question then is, what are you going to do with all these video games? You claim to be a follower of Jesus. You claim to be a follower of a man who has lordship over every area of your life. So, does Jesus make a difference in your video gaming? How so? But you know, video gaming is just, video games are just a small piece of the massive technological puzzle that we have today. The greatest technological advance in the history of humanity is a little thing we like to call the internet. And the internet truly provides the absolute best that humanity has to offer. And the absolute worst that humanity can offer. Unspeakable things. The internet can actually help your life. The internet can help your family. The internet gives the gospel. But the internet can absolutely destroy your life and destroy your family. And one major aspect of the internet, in fact, one of the great arms of the internet, is another little thing we call social networking. People looking for relationships, building relationships, maintaining relationships. Talking about Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and Pinterest and eHarmony, and the list goes on and on. In the early days, the internet was stationary, right? It was in your home or it was in your office. Now it's on your mobile device. Most of you in here can remember life before cell phones. It wasn't that long ago, really. Have you ever asked yourself this question? How did we ever live without cell phones? I've asked that many times. But I did. How did I live without cell phones? You know what today's generation is wondering? How did we ever live without the internet on our cell phone? You can take it everywhere. In fact, we somehow think it's our right to have online access wherever we are. And boy, we get frustrated if it's not free and if it's not available. Technology is here. The digital explosion has happened. It's not going away. You cannot ignore it, no matter how badly we might like to at times. But that's not the issue. The issue is not that technology is here. The issue is, what are you going to do with all this technology? Or maybe I should ask this, what should the Christian do? What should the Christian home do with all this technology? I believe that every Christian has a default response to technology. Now, I'm going to give you three responses that I have come up with. You will find that they are generalities, but I believe if you think about it, they are very accurate, and you and I will fall into one of these primarily. And the first two that I give you is what I believe are misguided, short-sighted, and potentially destructive. So every Christian has a default response to technology. The first one I'm calling is embracement. This is the Christian who views technology as a non-Christian views technology. In other words, without careful safeguards, without instruction, without accountability, they welcome technology primarily unchecked into their lives. This is the dad who really is concerned about his son's cell phone usage. Don't get me wrong, not because of what his son does with the cell phone, but because of how much the son's use of the cell phone is costing him. This is the mom who gives, or with little hesitation, gives her daughter a Facebook account, but never checks up on what she is posting, who her friends are. It does not have close contact with that. This is the teenager who has unrestricted access to iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, in their room or on their mobile device. This is the teenager who is texting late at night and mom and dad have no idea. They just welcome technology in with little safeguards, little protection, little instruction, little accountability. Here's your phone. Here's your laptop. Have fun. The problem with this response is that it is no different than a non-Christian's response. In other words, Jesus has made no difference in technology. And Christian, if you in your home and in your life, if you welcome technology without this discernment, then for your children and for yourself, that iPhone, that Android, that laptop, that iPod very quickly, secretly descends into a sin-enabling device, which leads to guilt and shame and despair and a black hole. Jesus must be Lord of technology. If you or I embrace technology without Jesus, it can and will destroy our lives. So the first default response that many Christians have is a response of embracement. The second response, which I believe is also misguided and just as short-sighted, is what I'm going to call an exclusion response. This is the Christian who views technology as an enemy that must be held at bay. Now, folks, this is a tricky one. And I really run the risk of being misunderstood. But this is a circle the wagons approach to technology. I think the thought that we have goes something like this. I don't want my kids to wipe out. I want my children to grow up without scars. Technology has the power to ruin their lives. So therefore, I will eliminate its influence as much as possible. My goal becomes protection. My strategy becomes defense. Now, the Word of God is replete with verses and principles and bad examples of people who did not defend themselves from sin. Do not misunderstand me. Every Christian should and must actively work to eliminate and exclude sin in our lives. Understand this. Technology is not demon-possessed. But those video games can become sin. Your social networking can become entrapment. Your internet can become an idol. You are going to have to make defensive decisions. I talked with a guy just this week who told me that he used to have Facebook, but he found he was wasting so much time on all the other stuff on Facebook that he realized, I need to get rid of it. You're going to have to make defensive decisions. Never make inroads for sin in your life. And we're going to talk about that here today. I'm not saying that defense is wrong, because the issue with that first response that we talked about is what I'm saying is a limited defense. There's not enough defense there. Not enough protection. But I think the issue and the short-sightedness and the misguidedness with this second response is that it is lopsided defense. I'm not saying have less defense. I'm saying have more offense in your technology. In your zeal to protect yourself from technology, don't neglect to prepare for technology. Don't fall into the trap of elevating defense as the supreme virtue and goal in technology, because defense is not the goal. The glory of God is the goal. And defense is a major part of that goal. But do not get defense out of balance. I believe the Bible presents a more balanced approach to technology, and it is found in the gospel. And so the third reaction that Christians have is the reaction I'm going to argue that we all should have as followers of Jesus Christ. And the rest of the time this morning will be spent in building that out. is a response I'm calling the engagement response. This is the Christian who views technology as an incredible opportunity for the gospel. If we are to think biblically about technology, we must go through the cross. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus holds the answer for all Christians living in the digital age. And what happened at the cross of Jesus Christ shows us that we must engage technology for the gospel. And here is the question that I asked Bryn earlier. Okay, honey, if the gospel is supposed to drive our technology, how does Jesus' death on the cross drive my technology? How does his atonement for my sin drive my technology? And you know what her response was? I don't know. You know what my response was? Neither do I. If I pose that question to you, and I am this morning, how does the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus drive your technology? What would you say? Well, I'm still learning. But I want to share with you this morning, I believe the answer is found in Ephesians 5, but I want to share this morning walking through some things that the Apostle Paul tells us. This is where the Glycers are landing right now. And you need to take this for your family, and you need to study it out on your own. Because if the gospel is supposed to drive everything, it must drive your technology too. Would you look back at verse number 1 of Ephesians 5? Paul begins, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." The word "therefore" actually harkens back to the verse previous. Ephesians 4:32. Have you heard of that verse? "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Ephesians 4:32 talks about God's forgiveness of sin through Jesus. In other words, chapter 4 ends with the cross, and chapter 4, by virtue of the word "therefore," continues the cross. And by the way, verse 2 talks about the cross as well. We'll talk about that. Because God is kind, because God is tender-hearted, because God is forgiving, verse 1 of 5, his children must act like him. The word "followers" there in our text is literally the word "imitator." Be an imitator of God. We get the English word "mimic" from the Greek word here. You can say this way, be a mimicker of God's character. This is the glory of the gospel. Sinners can actually become like Jesus. Is that not the goal of why God saved you in the first place? To make you like Jesus. And so, because of the cross, you now have the call and the capability of mimicking God. So, a gospel-driven technology begins with this question: am I mimicking God with my technology? Would Jesus play the video games you play? If Jesus had a Facebook account, would his be identical to yours? Would Jesus post on Twitter what you post? Would he tweet what you tweet? Would he text what you text? Would he type on the blog what you type? Would he comment in the comment section the way you comment? Would Jesus visit every web page you visit? Would Jesus' motivation for going online be your motivation for going online? Would Jesus spend as much time on video gaming as you do? Would he be spending as much time on networking as you do? Would he be spending as much time online shopping as you do? Would Jesus view technology the way you do? How would Jesus use his technology? You see, Ephesians 5:1 is the foundational question for the Christian and technology. Am I imitating God? Am I mimicking his character? If you start with that, it's going to eliminate a lot of problems with your technology. I like to think I mimic God's character in my technology. But how do I mimic it? How do I imitate God? Well, we are given three ways to mimic God's character for a gospel-driven technology. In Ephesians 5, 1 through 7, the Apostle Paul introduces the word and idea of walking three different times. If you notice there in verse number 2, he says, and walk in love. This is the first way to mimic God's character in our technology. We must walk in love. The word walk is the way I live my life. It is my life style. Paul already told us in Ephesians 4, 1, our walk, our life must be worthy of the Lord. And here he again returns to the theme of walking in verse 2. Walk in love. Now your day is going to consist of many things. It's going to consist of eating. Amen. It's going to consist of sleeping. A big amen. It's going to consist in going to work, going to school, doing responsibilities at home, doing hobbies. Your day is going to consist of many things. Technology touches more and more areas of your daily life. When was the last day you didn't use technology? Technology is increasingly touching every area of our daily lifestyle. So therefore, Ephesians 5 increasingly applies to our daily contact with technology. It is our lifestyle. It is our life. And Paul calls us to have a lifestyle of love. More specifically, a lifestyle of gospel love. Would you look at verse 2? And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians 5, 2 is all about the cross. It's all about Christ's sacrifice on behalf of sinners like you and me. And this is the pattern of love we must mimic. As Jesus loved me on the cross, so I must love others in my life and in my lifestyle. So let's take this to apply to technology. I must imitate the love of the gospel in my technology. In other words, my video gaming must mimic God's love, or it's not gospel driven. My social networking must mimic God's love. My cell phone usage must mimic God's love, this gospel love. Well, what is gospel love? Well, according to verse 2, it deals with self-sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed his life for the good of others. So what is gospel love? It is sacrificially giving of oneself for others. That immediately takes technology completely out of the realm of self, right then and there. And that flips our entire thinking upside down when it comes to technology. Technology makes things easier for me. Hold it. Gospel-driven technology is not about you. It is about sacrificing for others. In other words, gospel-driven technology will involve a death, your death. Video games are no longer about you. Video games turn into an avenue of building relationships for gospel love. I'm thankful for my dad. When my brother and I were growing up, I mentioned we had Nintendo. Tecmo Super Bowl. Quite possibly the greatest game ever invented. Right after Tetris. But anyway, my dad would play video games with his two sons. Why? It's because he enjoyed them? No, he wasn't real good at them. He was fine. But you know why he played video games with us? It had nothing to do with the video games, it had to do with his son. He wanted to keep a relationship. He wanted to keep an avenue open to our hearts. So he entered our world and played our games, whether it be electronic or games outside. He entered our world so that he could establish a relationship, so that as a 33-year-old young man now, I'm still talking with him, and he still has gospel, spiritual influence in my life. I talked with him on the phone for more than 40 minutes yesterday on a technological device. And the amount of gospel truth he gave me in helping me, we talked through some of this that I'd be sharing this morning. And I told him, "Dad, why did you play video games?" And he said, "So we would have a relationship." You see, video games have a powerful ability to open an avenue of ministry and to demonstrate God's love and to mimic God's love to others, but only if your video games are gospel-driven. iPhones and cell phones are no longer a toy to amuse you, but they turn into a tool with which to love others. Through texts and through emails and through phone calls. "Hey, I'm praying for you. Let me share what God is doing. I got a text this morning from my mom praying for you. The Word of God has power." That's gospel-driven technology. "How are things going? What can I pray for you about? Hey, I know you're going through a tough time. I love you. I'm here for you." This is what gospel-centered technology is all about. Social networking is no longer about promoting you and your life, but pointing others, Christians and non-Christians, to Jesus. Your Facebook and Twitter are now postings of gospel-saturated truth. As you post online about the things of your life, the story of your life, as you post them, they are now presented through the lens of God's love. This is what God has been doing. Isn't it wonderful that God has allowed this in my children's life? It's a whole different starting point. Even in the midst of disaster, when you're having a bad day and you want the cyber world to know you're having a bad day, it's still given in the lens of God's love. I want to walk in love on my Facebook, mimicking self-sacrificing love. Even when in the humorous situations. And that God ignites your imagination with how technology can reach the lost. That's what I'm excited for about the up-and-coming generation. They think digitally. And if God will just capture their heart about what they can use their technology to reach this generation for Christ, whoa, it'll blow our minds. And it does. To demonstrate the love of God. Gospel-driven technology begins. How can I use technology to show the love of Jesus? But sadly, even Christians use technology to indulge in perverted love or counterfeit love. Would you look at verse 3? "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." You are God's saints. You are God's holy ones. Therefore, immorality, impurity, and greed must be eliminated. So as we apply it to technology, never should the Christian tolerate any form of immorality in our technology. If that video game simulates sex, immodesty, or nudity, they are perversions of love and should be eliminated. Should never be purchased, should never be played, should never be indulged in. You're not mimicking God's love. You're mimicking perverted love. Web pages with nudity or partial nudity must never be accessed. Chat rooms are the playground of adulterers and should be avoided. This is perverted love. Perverted love is greedy love. It's all about me. Verse 4 continues, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. The word filthiness is obscenity, filthy talk, dirty talk. Foolish talking is moronic talk, the communication of fools. Jesting is immoral wit. This is the ability to turn the most innocent deeds and the most innocent words into sexual innuendo. Have you seen what Christians post online? Christians post online? Barroom talk, bathroom talk, and bedroom talk. It's all over from people who claim to be Christians. And if we went and accessed your Facebook or you accessed my Facebook, would we find these very things? See, folks, here's your checklist. You don't need an Andy checklist. Here's the Spirit of God. Right then and there. Boy, Christians post bitterness and anger and slander and accusations, lies, innuendo, obscenity, and indecency. And putting LOL on the end of your post doesn't make it right. Before you hit the send button, you ask yourself this question: is this post, is this comment, is this blog, is this reply imitating God's self-sacrificing love? And if it is not, you delete, 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 delete. Unless you want a me-centered technology, then go ahead and send it. Before you play the game, does it contain any of these things? Rather, our gospel-centered love should be full of thankfulness for what God is doing in our life, and let me share. That's why he says, giving of thanks, let me share with you what God is doing, and you too can know God's love. This is a gospel-driven technology. As you read verses 5, 6, and 7, you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Understand that that type of perversion characterizes the lost man. Let no man deceive you with vain, empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. God takes counterfeit love on the internet and on your phone very seriously, and he does judge. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't imitate the character of fools. Imitate the character of your Father. That's why we come back to verse number 1. Be a mimicker of God. Walk in love. Are you walking in love in your technology? See, you have to take that for your own family. Are we walking in love with our video? Are we walking in love with our internet? Are we walking in love with our cell phone? Are we walking in love with our Twitter? Are we walking in love on Pinterest? Are we doing this? If not, it's not gospel-centered. It's self-centered. He says, walk in love. We must continue. In verses 8 through 14, he gives the second way to imitate God's character, and that is walk in light. Would you look at verse 8? For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children. There's our word again. Walk as children of light. God himself is light. 1 John 1, 5 tells us God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Jesus calls himself light. In John 8, I am the light of the world. And when you accept Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior, you get the light of the world living in you, which makes his statement in Matthew 5:14 make sense when he says, you are the light of the world. Back in Ephesians 8, it says, you were darkness, but now you are light. There's the gospel, folks. You were in darkness, you were away from God, but because of the cross of Calvary, you now are light. You now have God's light because you have the light of the world in you. Because of your faith in Jesus, the light of the world has moved into the neighborhood. And as I heard at camp, and it was an outstanding statement, Jesus is so big and my heart is so small that if he is in my life, he should be sticking out somewhere. Is Jesus sticking out in your technology? Are you, Matthew 5:16, letting your light shine? Ephesians 5:8, are you walking as children of light? Let him shine out of you. Mimic the character of Jesus' light. Imitate his light. Gospel-driven technology is characterized by God's truth and God's holiness. Gospel-driven technology is all about shining the light of Jesus digitally. But how do we do that? Well, Ephesians 5, 9 tells us, and 10, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and this is what is acceptable unto the Lord. The fruit, or the evidence that you are shining your light digitally, will be seen in your goodness, in your righteousness, and in your truth. Goodness is closely related to love, we've already talked about. It is moral excellence. It is actively doing good to other people through technology because Jesus actively did you good on the cross. And here's the point. My technology will only and always be used for the highest good of others. Galatians 6:10, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Are you using your technology as an opportunity to do good to all men? When you play video games, are you seeing it as an opportunity to do good to all men? When you post online, when you text, are you using your technological devices primarily for others' good or for your good? You don't have a gospel-driven technology if it's all about you. It is a me-centered technology. There's goodness. Then he says there's righteousness, another way that the light shines. Righteousness is not so much my relationship with other people as it is my relationship with a holy God. As Jesus was righteous with dealing with my sin at the cross, so I will deal with my sin in technology. 1 Peter 1 speaks about we ought to be holy in all manner of conversation, lifestyle, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Does your technology mimic God's holiness? Habakkuk 1, thou God are of pure eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. What about your eyes? 1 Peter 2:22, speaking of Jesus, he did no sin, neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth. Is there deception in your technology? Are you hiding something? Is there a secret relationship? Are you fibbing? Are you lying online or on text? But he goes on to say in 1 Peter 2:23, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Do you seek vengeance on your social networking page? Do you send out angry emails? Do you slander people in the comments? Do you nurture old wounds with other bitter, angry people? If so, you are not driven by the gospel in your technology. You are driven by selfishness and unrighteousness. And the truth is, if someone has done you wrong, Jesus will deal with the people who offend you. But your responsibility is to shine in righteousness. And then the third way is through truth. This deals with my own personal integrity. Is there integrity in your technology, or is there a double life? A lifestyle of integrity, holiness, and goodness and technology is therefore pleasing to God. Now, if you look in verse 11, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved, are corrected, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. In other words, light reveals the darkness. Wherefore he saith, here's this gospel invitation. Awake you who are asleep. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. That verse 14 is speaking to those who are lost. Christ will give you light if you come to him. But in these four verses, Paul negatively commands us to not participate in those unfruitful works. That should be, you don't participate in them. But then positively, he commands us to reprove and correct those sins. Can I say something to moms and dads this morning? When your teenager sins through technology, uses technology to indulge in some sin, God has given you an opportunity to expose to him or her and to correct that sin. And you bring them back to the cross. Don't go postal on them. God has given you an opportunity to reprove and to bring them back to the cross as the answer. Verse 12 speaks of in your zeal to protect from evil, don't over-research the evil because that's a potential snare. But light exposes darkness and makes darkness flee. Okay, you can study that portion now. We are to walk in love in our technology, walk in light and quickly. And finally, we are to walk in wisdom. In verse 15, we see again, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. God Himself is the source of all wisdom. Romans chapter 11, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. When you were saved, you got Jesus. And when you got Jesus, you got His wisdom, His discernment. So in 1 Corinthians 1, we read, but of Him are you in Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In other words, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, because of the cross, you can imitate God's wisdom in technology. How? How does this work in technology? Well, three ways to walk in wisdom. Verse 15 tells us to be on guard. The word circumspectly means be alert, be aware, carefully protect from the evils of technology. Remember, you don't need less defense. You need defense. You need protection. Don't trust yourself. Set up accountability. Eliminate temptations. It is not the mark of wisdom to think you are above falling. So be on guard. Number two, verse 16, be opportunistic. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. This word time is not the time on the clock. It is the time you have been allotted by God to live. This time is the day, the number of days you have to live. And with the word redeeming, it means to purchase for the purpose of setting free. Here's a picture of the cross once again. Jesus bought you with His blood to set you free from sin. Here's the point of verse 16. In His eternal counsels, God determined how many days you're going to live. And guess what? You can't add to it. You have a certain number of days. You've already spent a lot of those days, haven't you? How many more days do you have left? I don't know. I don't know how many more days I have. So seize this day for the sake of the gospel. Live today to demonstrate, to declare, and to display the gospel in your life and for others. And if technology helps to achieve the goal of the gospel, then use it. But if technology is wasting your time, if you're seeking satisfaction in the technology, if you are self-centered in your technology, if technology is causing you to sin, then you get rid of those things. Technology is a tool. You only have so many days left. Be opportunistic. As David Livingstone wrote, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And verse 17 tells us, in walking in wisdom is to be obedient. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It is the will of the Lord for you to obey Him. Understand His will. Know His will. Obey His will. This is throughout the pages of Scripture, the principles of Scripture, the commands of Scripture. Obey His will. God has called you to walk in love. God has called you to walk in light in technology. And it is the mark of wisdom to obey it. And you can obey it. Why? Because of verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I talked with my dad yesterday. Dad, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. He said, don't forget verse 18. Walk in the Spirit. In other words, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, Christian. Let Him be the guide. Let Him be the one who, as my dad told me, blows the whistle if you're not walking in love, walking in light, and walking in wisdom. Yield control of your technology to Him. Technology should not be driven by fear. It should be driven by the gospel. You need Jesus to live His life through you. So yield control to the Holy Spirit. I want to close this morning with a passage from Psalm 127, and we'll be done. And I appreciate you listening. Psalms 120 through 134 are called the Ascent Psalms. These are psalms that were sung by the faithful people of God as they would caravan to Jerusalem. You would travel with your family. You would travel with your extended family, aunts and uncles and cousins. And everyone is going. And as you travel to Jerusalem in ancient Israel, they would sing Psalms 120 through Psalm 134. One of those psalms is 127. I've got to believe this was a favorite of the children. And you'll see why. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Can you see? You got to know, little boys love this song. As they're walking to Jerusalem with the family, someone starts singing, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children. And here goes little boys running. Did you hear that? I'm an arrow! I'm an arrow! I'm an arrow! And the girls rolling their eyes at the boys. I'm an arrow! But arrows are never designed to stay in the quiver. The whole purpose of an arrow is to be shot, to be launched. And an arrow will only fly true and straight to the target in which the parent and the church shoots. If that arrow has been carefully prepared before it is launched. Every year, with high school graduates, we launch arrows into a technological world. An increasingly explosive digital world. What are you doing to prepare? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the passage here in Ephesians. I thank you that though the Bible never mentions the word internet or video game or Twitter, yet it speaks to our daily lifestyle here in Ephesians 5. And Lord, there are so many other principles that must be brought in that there is no way we have time to do that here. And I pray that you would allow each individual would seriously look at how they view technology, that they would view it through a gospel-centered lens. Only for your glory, teach us how this looks, I pray. Amen.
Our Teen Week message for this Friday evening was delivered by Andy Gleiser as he spoke on gospel-driven technology. How do you view technology in your life? Through the gospel lens? Is technology controlling you? Or are you controlling technology? Perhaps you do not know the Lord Jesus, and you have never responded to the gospel message in your life. If that is the case, we invite you to chat with a biblical advisor one-on-one at bbnchat.org this evening, bbnchat.org, bbnchat.org.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.